Welcome to the Today's Leader podcast. Building tomorrow's best leaders, today.
Way to go, guys. Way to go. Keep it going. Good job, guys. All right, Paul, I see you.
All right, finish off. Coach Carl.
And it's my pleasure to welcome to the Today's Leader podcast, Building Tomorrow's Best Leaders Today. Please welcome the author of The Covenant Secret, John Filoni. How are you, John?
I'm doing well. How are you, Tony?
And for the listeners, this is our second attempt at connecting because we just had those gremlins in the internet decide to get in our way. But they did. We forged through and we're ready to go. Hey, John, share the John Filoni story with our listeners.
Yeah, so my background is Wall Street. I started in 1980 as a broker and then a manager. I was a vice president at several firms and a CEO of a small investment bank. But I always had entrepreneurial ventures going and started businesses and currently have an app that I'm about to launch in investing. But I always noticed that the missing ingredient that people didn't pay attention to, although they gave it great lip service, was the people side of business. And that's what fascinated me. And that's what the book, The Covenant Secret, is about.
Yeah. And I, in my day-to-day dealings with businesses and business owners, I also get that really strong sense that in some ways people can be an afterthought. But what I see often is that people have a mentality of a business is business and, you know, it's all about profit generation and what have you. Yet at the end of the day, it's all about, well, in my mind, it's all about working with people.
Yeah, I mean, even if you talk about, you know, if you ask people, what is business about? Is it money or people? The majority of people will say money, but my answer is whether you're dealing with a customer who has to write a check or an investor who has to write a check, even if it's money, money only comes through people.
Mm, very much so.
And you know, and it's funny you mentioned it's business. I found in my many years in business that when people are ready to mistreat people and do the wrong thing, they'll always give that excuse that you just said, it's business.
Yeah.
And I found that to be abhorrent.
Yeah, it's like an excuse that they feed themselves to give them the permission to, you know, treat someone potentially without respect or, you know, shaft someone or scam someone, that it's simply business. It's a business decision. Yet at the end of the day, you're dealing with a human being. So,
amen.
Why is it that people discount relationships, John?
It's interesting. I think we became over the years a transactional kind of social fabric where the getting deep into a relationship, even when you're talking about social networking, it never gets deep. And it used to be years ago that you would forge relationships that are deep. You got to learn about people. And now we really pretty much stay on the surface. So I think we suffer from a lengthy period of just staying on the surface with people to where people become, you know, a second thought. You know, I think it's comical where most businesses will say that their greatest asset is people, yet their behavior tells a different story.
Yeah, their behavior doesn't align with their stated objectives, so to speak. So tell me about The Covenant Secret.
Yeah, so what I found, and what's interesting is I wrote this book about 30 years ago.
Wow.
And it's really, really timely. It's a business parable. The thing that I focused on was every stakeholder in a business. And each chapter has is about the relationship, whether it be with customers, shareholders, partners, investors, vendors, the community where you do business, or even the planet itself. And It's interesting now in, you know, the biggest thing that we talk about in corporate America is stakeholder capitalism. And you know, it used to be that the shareholder is paramount and everything you do in a business is for the shareholder, where, you know, I put forward the premise that if you take care of the other stakeholders, the other groups of people better, then you serve the shareholder best. And that's really, really panning out. And what I found was, and I came up with seven principles that are all based upon universal truths, philosophical, mystical, religious truths, that when they apply to people, we can apply them in business. And I wrote that in a parable form in the Covenant Secret.
It's interesting. We see the likes of, you know, I think it's a Richard Branson quote, or, you know, I'll paraphrase, but if you want to look after the customer, you have to look after your team, you have to look after your staff. And you also hear little stories about, you know, the CFO talking about training the team. What happens if we train the team and they leave? And the other side of the coin is, well, what happens if we don't train them and they stay? So we get this whole like contradictory stuff about people in our businesses. Yet fundamentally, to me, it seems really basic. So you look after your team, they're going to look after the customer better. And ultimately, if you look after the customer better, the shareholders and the stakeholders are going to be well and truly adequately covered. So so seven master keys or secrets, what is it?
Yeah, seven principles that lead to the Covenant Secret. And, you know, and they're based upon, like I say, universal truths. Like one, for a sustained relationship success, do and say to others what you like having done or said to you. And do not say to others or do unto others what you don't want having done to you. And it's basically the golden rule. And there's nothing better than the golden rule. And interesting thing about the golden rule is it does not say to do unto others as they do unto you. Okay, so the onus is on you. Always do as you would like to be done. And so you create your own list of thou shalls and thou shalt nots too. Yeah. And that's really powerful. And it's all upon you. The second principle is that for which you show gratitude for increases. And that's a universal principle as well, that whenever you pay attention to something, that's what expands. And the great mystic Meister Eckhart said that if the only prayer you ever say in your life is thank you, it will be enough. And Plato said a grateful mind is a great mind, which eventually attracts to itself great things. So gratitude is a very powerful principle. Mm-hmm. The third principle is to serve people optimally, discover what they value. And that's interesting because whether you're sitting down with your team, or you're gonna serve customers, you ought to find out what it is that they value, because each individual is gonna value something different. So again, you gotta take the time in order to find what they value. The fourth principle is honesty builds trust. Trustworthiness is the foundation of character. Yep. Character determines the fruit and pleasure of a relationship. So trust and integrity are critically important. The fifth principle, the ability to influence others is the most valuable relationship asset. Demonstrated integrity determines the extent to which such influence is granted. Yeah. Again, so paying attention to that. The sixth principle is passion plus compassion moves mountains. Mm-hmm. And again, it's sitting down with your people in finding out what turns them on, what are they passionate about, because the more you can tap into that passion and make it congruent with what you're trying to accomplish in the business, the more successful you'll be. And the seventh principle is what you believe determines what you think, how you decide, the actions you take, and what you accomplish. Most people when they find something isn't working for them, and they get a result of something, they'll go look at the actions they took and the decisions they made, and that takes discipline and you work at it. But you have to work at it. But if you go back to what you believe, and because beliefs trigger thoughts trigger decisions, then actions, then results. If you don't have to discipline yourself if you're acting with belief. So it behooves us to take an inventory of what we believe and see if they're still serving us.
Great.
So those are the seven principles.
As you were going through them, I'm thinking to myself, there's a lot of individual responsibility with those, the keys, the person taking it on to be gratitude, to build trust, you know, to act in a way that's synonymous with the way that they wish to be treated. I don't see blame, judgment, denial, excuses in those seven master steps at all, John.
It really is. It's about basic human decency and behavior and responsibility. And in the book, I talk about the professional client relationship. And I wanted to understand, I mean, the word covenant is very, very powerful. It's very biblical. And there are covenants that are, a covenant is sacred.
Yeah.
So I found that the best relationships in business are the professional client relationship. In other words, a customer walks in a store, you can have a clerk serve a customer. But if a client walks into a lawyer's office or a professional's office, a clerk can't handle a client. So a client is a very powerful word that we should treat every human being in our lives with. And the thing that makes that covenant between a professional and a client is anything that you share with me, any way I'm going to serve you, whether you're a team member, a customer, a vendor, the community which we live in, the shareholder, I'm gonna treat you as in your best interest and none of mine. And that's what that professional client covenant is I'm going to serve you and not serve me. And that's just a very key principle as we go into the book in developing the covenant secret.
Let's talk about trust. A lot's been written about trust. A lot of leadership experts talk about trust. I always believe that the trust is the foundation of everything that's great that's happening in your life. I've been asked by leaders, how do I build trust? And I normally say to them, well, are you trustworthy? Because that's usually the first step to build trust.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of look at me as if, what? No, I just want you to tell me what I should be doing with my team for them to trust me. So let's talk about trust.
Yeah, I mean, in today's world, and it's interesting, it's about authenticity and honesty. I'll never forget years ago, and the millennials and Gen Z are all about authenticity. In other words, if you're coming at them to sell them something or something in your interest and not theirs, they smell it a mile away. I'll never forget, I don't know, maybe 10 years or so, when Sean White, the redheaded kid that won the snowboarding gold medals in the Olympics, he was on the cover of Fast Company magazine, and it was an interview with him, and he had just won gold medals, and he was young, and they were asking him, you've been offered like from 20, 25 different companies to sponsor their products, yet you've only chosen three. And why is that? And he looked at them like, they had, 10 heads, because his answer was, it's because I use those products. Mm. In other words, in our days, you pay $1 million to Michael Jordan to advertise this cup as the greatest cup that ever existed. He'd do that.
Mm.
But nowadays, that's not the way it is. There's got to be an authenticity that makes you trustworthy. Don't tell me how to live. Tell me how you live. Mm. And if that you know, if I like that, if that resonates with me, then I'll follow you. You know, it's funny, when I opened the book by saying a quote from Oliver Wendell Holmes, and I answered the question, why did I choose a parable form rather than, you know, nonfiction form? And Oliver Wendell Holmes said, history tells lies about real people. Fiction tells the truth about imaginary ones. And so it's all about being authentic, being truth, and like you say, being worthy of that trust just by being real.
Yeah.
Being real.
Yeah.
In today's world, people can smell inauthenticity a mile away. And I think that's the key in today's world.
Yeah. And yet we've got influencer marketing on social media that goes through the roof. We've got influencers reaching out to brands to get, you know, whether it's a free holiday or I'll go here so I can share photos with my followers. And so it's almost like the trust that people have with their influencers is that it's potentially this products that they're using, and that may not always be the case. And once again, they're probably going down. That'll be found out, I would imagine. Where people...
Exactly. And so the most successful influencers are the ones who are the most authentic in sharing. The ones who are talking about products or experiences that resonate with them in their lives. So you know, the key for a successful influencer is, again, don't tell me what to do. Tell me what you're doing. And if that makes sense to me and resonates with me, then I'll follow you into other areas. I'll never forget my son was promoting concerts with garage bands when he was in high school. And I saw that he had, you know, 300 plus kids paying $20 to see these bands. And I asked him, and he's a smart, smart kid. What are you doing for advertising? Are you on Facebook? No. Are you doing mailers? No. Are you doing this? No. Are you doing that? No, no, no. Then what are you doing? And it was interesting. And it taught me a lot. What he was doing was on his social networking sites, he would say that he liked this list of bands. And on Saturday night, he liked these three bands that are going to a show, and he's going because he likes them. And what the people would do was they would look through his list and say, oh my God, I like those as well. He likes those, so maybe I'll like them as well. He never, ever promoted telling them to or selling them into coming to the event. It's a very strange world, very different than it was in our younger days.
Yeah, very much so. I'm interested in the compassion and passion connection, because often, you know, I work with a lot of businesses that we talk about passion and purpose being connected, and passion drives your purpose, and purpose makes something real and connected for us. Talk me through the compassion and how it helps with the passion scenario.
So when I was in management at E.F. Hutton in the 80s, I was the assistant manager, and I was in charge of hiring and training stockbrokers, as well as being a broker myself.
Yeah.
And I had the most successful group of rookie brokers than anyone in the region.
Yeah.
And so the, you know, senior management would ask me, what are you doing? So I would very simply tell them that every morning, I would take one of my brokers to breakfast, and in the afternoon, I take one of my brokers to lunch. And during that period, I would talk to them about what's going on in their lives, what are they excited about, where do they want to see their lives in 5 years, you know, talk about their families, find out what they're trying to accomplish in the business as a broker and their clients, find out what their needs were. And after a conversation like that, I'd go back to the office and deliver them what they needed. It wasn't rocket science.
Yeah.
It was just talking to human beings, not just on the business side of it, but as a human being, and what their passions are in life, what they're trying to do in life, what they want for their families, etc. And if they show that you actually, you know, I think the most powerful word in business today And you know it when you walk into any store or you or anyone you deal with, and I'd hire anybody, I don't care where they came from, if they just display this one word, and that's care. If you want to find someone that cares, right? I mean, 90% of the people out there, when you're dealing with them, you know that they just don't care. And when you find someone that cares, you know, I always say, when you're on the phone and trying to get something done and you're reaching someone that it just isn't doing it, get off the phone. I call those people ducks, and all they do is quack, 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 quack. Ducks never get anything done. You got to find an eagle. Yeah. And so people will say, well, then ask the duck to talk to their supervisor. Never do that, because a duck will only go find another duck that will support them. Mm-hmm. What you got to do is get off the phone and start from scratch again. You've got to find eagles. And eagles in the world are very simply people who care. And you know it. I mean, you know the people in your life that you're dealing with professionally in business or any part of your life. The refreshing thing is to find people who care. So that being said, when your people, when your team or your customers know that you care, that's that trustworthiness, that bond, that that passion that you're tapping into, and it just pays huge dividends.
Yeah, you could see the multiplier effect, absolutely. And it's no surprise that leaders who invest in their teams, in a similar concept to what you were talking about with compassion, having those 15-minute chats during the structured conversations around, you know, their ongoing goals, their dreams, their aims, and what they're, how are they accomplishing that. There's no secret that those leaders outperform the other leaders who are saying, I'm far too busy to be sitting down with Jack Smith from my junior accounting to find out what's going on with him. So,
you know, and isn't it interesting? There's something that is frowned upon nowadays in the relationship building. You know, like the 2-3 martini lunch, which you can't do anymore, or taking a customer out golfing or doing something like that. That's all shied upon, right? But those are the experiences where you're actually building relationships, and those are the relationships that pay huge dividends when you nurture them. Yeah. And it's interesting nowadays, you know, we just don't want to take the time. As a matter of fact, we shy upon that and say, that's just not good. It's a waste of money and all those kind of things. And it's just wrong.
Yeah. And relationships, when you think about the relationships that you have with people, often it is about sitting down at lunch with them, attending an event with them. You know, those opportunities that you get to know people, find out, you know, their family situations, their schools, you know, and where they go on holidays. All of these things help us understand that person. And the more we understand, the more we have that rapport with the person, the better off a leader's going to be.
And remember, you know, one of the covenant principles is to find out what they value. And you're going to find out what they value in those real human experiences with them.
Yeah. Just the last little thing I'll just chat about with you, John, is the gratitude scenario. So expressing gratitude for what we got. What can a leader do on a day-to-day basis? What sort of practices, or is there a practice that they can put in place that's going to help them express that gratitude?
Again, I want to step back to it. It's a universal truth. That which you pay attention to expands. And it's a universal, it's a truth having to do, it's religious and mystical and spiritual truth as well, that rather than complain, if you show gratitude for the smallest things, the smallest thing is, it doesn't have to be big. But when you're showing that gratitude, those small things will expand and grow. If you're paying attention to, even as a leader, the things within your team that they're doing well, and you pay attention to that, it expands and it grows. And rather than focusing on the things that aren't going well, the things that are going well that you're gratitude for will supersede and take over the things that aren't.
Yeah. So it's that concept of focusing on what we want to expand and what we want more of in our lives. So,
well, you know, that's the thing, even from an accounting standpoint or a metric standpoint, you know, as a business person, you should be very careful and very diligent in your analysis of what you measure in a company, what your metrics are, because without a doubt, what those metrics are that you start listening and paying attention to will expand. Okay, yes. So those things, it's important when you pick a metric, because that's the thing that is going to grow, because the entire organization is concentrating on it.
Yeah, and relative to, you know, recognition bonus strategies is that the KPIs that are set for leaders to achieve that bonus, if they're not the most important KPIs within your business or going to help the business grow,
exactly,
you'll get people nailing their KPIs, but then having no material impact on the business whatsoever, because the KPIs, for want of another word, are just dumb. It's just someone says, this is, you know, the amount of phone calls you make in a day is a KPI. Or I could sit there and do 150 phone calls and get no result.
Right.
So exactly.
Right. Yeah, you know, and it's funny, I would always, in any business that I would run, someone that we always, and it's a different world now, but I would always highly pay the receptionist.
Yeah.
Because the receptionist at the front desk is answering the phones, is meeting people, and sometimes a great portion of our customers and clients, the only person they would ever talk to would be the receptionist.
Yeah.
And yet they got so disrespected and weren't paid well and all that. And again, that's a frontline customer on customer experience. And we totally disregarded the receptionist. I mean, you look at the phone now. In order to, sometimes you can't even get to a customer support person. You're there punching numbers, going through all this rigmarole just to get a human being to help you, and it's rather stupid, quite frankly. I mean, it's disgusting, it's stupid, and it's the expedition of transactional stuff and not paying attention to the human beings and the relationships and why human beings interact with each other. And we're missing that.
Yeah. It's also a really good test of character for, you know, for businesses with the receptionist. And often you might see someone come in and treat the receptionist like they're, you know, less of a person or an underling or a junior or whatever, and that comes across in the way that they approach it. So if you do have a really good receptionist, they can pick up character of a person pretty quickly.
Big time.
Yeah. Excellent. Hey, John, who's inspired you in your journey?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people, and you know, you got to start. I start with my parents. You know, my father was a Boston police officer. My mother worked with the Boston police as well. And I grew up in the inner city of the North End in Boston. And the way, you know, what my mother, what my father taught me was always to do the right thing, right? But my mother taught me what the right thing was. So you have, you know, what you have that combination, because even in business, you know, it's the difference between effectiveness and efficiency.
Yeah.
You know, we could be really, really efficient in putting up a ladder against that wall and it working well and climbing that ladder and very efficient at it. But the effectiveness, it could be on the wrong wall. I mean, we've got to look at that, you know. So I've had numbers of people in business and in life that I've used as mentors. And In the 80s, while I was at AF Hutton, I was also chairman in New England of T. Boone Pickens United Shareholders Association. And he was a very fascinating mentor, because I thought he was the highest. I thought just he was a really great manager, entrepreneur, the high integrity. And I've had a number of those throughout my career. And again, it just goes on to it. Whenever I look at those people, it always will be reduced to just basic human decency and kindness. And I'll never forget when my father's best friend
Yeah.
I was probably early 20s. He was dying. He was in the hospital. He had lung cancer. And he probably had a couple of weeks left to live, and that was it. And I was going to be seeing him for the last time. As I was getting ready to leave, he told me the five most powerful words I've ever heard in my life. As I was leaving, he said, "John, it was nice knowing you. It was nice knowing you." This is from a man who's going to be dead in 2 weeks. Mm. He's known me my whole life. It's his father's my father's best friend. And those words, and I told him it was nice knowing him as well, but they impacted me so much, because wouldn't it be really nice to consider that every human being in your life that you've touched in one way or another, if you can get from them that sentiment of it was nice knowing you, you know, that perhaps from one thing or whatever, you enrichen their lives. You enrichen it was nice knowing you. I mean, that just was so powerful to me. And I think all of my mentors and anyone that has impacted my life, it comes down to that fact of it was nice knowing you, you know. Mm. And I want others to think the same of me, you know.
Yeah, it sounds almost like a throwaway line, but it's just got that power to it. And could you imagine if leaders today went out and asked their team, in a bit of self awareness, is it nice knowing me? And I don't know what sort of an answer that they would get, because some people would say, "Of course it is. Yeah, you're my boss. But that's powerful. That is,
isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't it, you know, and it's funny, this just triggered a thought in my head where, again, those are the authentic questions. I think that's a real question. When my kids were young growing up, you know, and we'd watch on TV a movie or what have you, a sitcom or whatever, and whenever there would be a situation where someone on the show or in the movie was sitting down with their psychiatrist, and ultimately the psychiatrist is asking them, "What happened when you were as a kid that your parents did that you're bringing forward?" So I would stop the show right then and there and look at my kids and say, "What's going on in your life now that you're going to be sitting in your psychiatrist's office when you're 40 that you're going to talk about that your parents bothered you?"
Yeah.
I think that's a nice question.
Yeah, let's talk about it now.
Let's talk about it now, right? And that's that question that you said. Imagine all of our leaders out there asking them, Would you say that it was nice knowing me?
Yeah, very, very relevant.
And profound.
It's deep. I need to sit on that for a while and think about that, because it is really powerful. So, John, tell me about failure. What's your relationship that you have when things don't go well?
I don't see it as failure. Because lots of things don't go well. I see them as, you know, this is almost sounds like a cliche, and it is cliche, but you look at it as something that you learn from. You're always being guided and directed, and it's just as important to find out what doesn't work as what does. And so getting validation from things that do work, and you move forward on that, but it's just as important to learn what doesn't. And especially in today's world, where you get feedback very quickly, so it's best to fail fast and fail often. And so the more you're failing, the more you're learning, the more you're pivoting and changing and getting toward the objectives you want. So I think it's just a philosophical mindset. Is that there is no failure; it's just learning. Yeah. Again, that's cliche, but it's an extremely true cliche.
It's true, 100%. What's the vision for you moving forward? So you mentioned you wrote The Covenant Secret 30 years ago. So,
yes.
So what's the vision for you moving forward?
Okay, so right now, again, it's timely in that it addresses the whole thing about relationships with stakeholder capitalism. But it also supports, I'm starting a business called Stock Squirrel, which is an app where quite simply is if you buy a $5 coffee in Starbucks, you're also buying a dollar's worth of stock in Starbucks when you're shopping. It's owning where you shop. So in the story and how it resonates with the Covenant Secret is what we're selling is not transactional investing. We're selling ownership. The difference between the 99% and the 1% is ownership. Yeah. So if we can get those 99% to learn the concept, the philosophy, the viewpoint of ownership and how to exercise it via small fractional share ownership in companies and in other asset classes, then we can shift. We can shift the world, quite frankly, into coming out of a victim status into victor status. You know, so even within the book, The Covenant Secret, and into my company, Stock Squirrel, it's about self-reliance, self-actualization, self-responsibility, and to take responsibility for your life and become what you want to be.
Mm. That sounds excellent. So what a great idea. So every time you buy a coffee, you're getting a fraction of what the ownership of the organization. Breeds Correct. Loyalty, breeds accountability, breeds support. Yeah,
There's nothing more loyal. We're turning customers into owners. I mean, there's nothing more loyal than that. And we're doing it with any public company where you're going in and buy something, whether, you know, be Home Depot, Walmart, wherever. Yeah. They're all public companies. And you acquire stocks in the very companies where you spend your money.
Fantastic idea. How can people connect with you, John?
You can go to johnfiloni.com, which is the website for my book. I'm also available on StockSquirrel.com, which we're revamping the website because we're going to be launching very shortly. Yeah. But I'm available for a conversation on anything. I mean, I love chatting with people and learning, whether it be feedback from my book or feedback from the business, because that feedback is what we talked about, which directs you in order to be more effective in what you're trying to accomplish.
Absolutely. I'll make sure those links are in the show notes. So, John, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today, and thank you for investing in today's leaders.
Thank you, Tony. I greatly appreciate it. I enjoy it.
If you're looking to build better leadership skills, check out the Today's Leader website at todaysleader.com.au. We really are driving a leadership revolution to build tomorrow's best leaders today. Today's Leader is a collective, the mindset to make a difference, the ability to create an impact. Think and Grow Business hosts our Today's Leader Mastermind. Think and Grow Business, where we focus on personal, professional, and business growth. Book your free 30-minute discovery call right from the homepage at thinkandgrowbusiness.com.au. Don't forget, wherever you are standing stronger, braver, and wiser. Don't forget the golden rule. Don't be an arsehole. I'll see you all again next week. Bye for now.